Well, a few weeks ago, we began a new series entitled Building Blocks for a Successful Life. And really, when you look at this series, it all comes from one single verse in Scripture, and I want us to read that verse together. It comes from Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. It says, "This book of instruction must not depart from your mouth. You're to meditate on it day and night so that you may carefully observe everything written in it. For then you will prosper and succeed in whatever you do." I love that verse in Scripture. Because what it tells us is that God wants us to prosper. He wants us to succeed. And not only does he desire that for our lives, but our God loved us so much that he gave us the blueprints for success in his word. We've been saying this for a couple of weeks now. Hopefully you've caught on. And we've been saying that success doesn't come from the world. Success comes from the word. And that's exactly what we're looking at again today. We're continuing with that same understanding, but we're kind of shifting gears and asking another question. We're asking the question, what does it look like to be successful? What does it look like to prosper in the area of parenting? Let me just ask you a quick question. How many of you are a parent? You are a parent of a child, no matter what age that may be. That's a lot of us in the room today. So if you're a parent, I really want to encourage you to take notes this morning. If you're going to be a parent someday, or most likely will, I want you to take notes as well, okay? So this is a message that really will hit us all if we have kids or not. But there's a lot of parents in the room, and I want us to be reminded that success in parenting comes from not the world, but it comes from the word. I asked this question on Facebook this week, and a lot of you responded. I asked, what does success look like in parenting? And a lot of you gave really good answers. I mean, hundreds of people responded with great answers, but there were a couple of answers that weren't that great, and I'm going to share those with you right now. One of those came from Alex Sandoval. He said, "A great parent is one who eats the kids' Valentine's candy without them noticing." I respect that, but I don't know if that's great parenting. Stephen Beasley said, "Successful parenting is raising kids who decide to follow Jesus, and they move out and don't move back in." And I'll say a big amen to that one. One of my favorite responses is one that says, "A successful parent is most likely exhausted." Because I can relate to that. Listen, parenting is exhausting. Can I get a strong amen from somebody? Parenting is tough. And you know what makes parenting so tough? The kids. That's exactly right. The kids make parenting tough. If kids were not involved, parenting would be a lot easier. I heard a quote the other day that said this: "Children today are tyrants. They contradict their parents. They gobble their food. They terrorize their teachers." And when I read that, I was like, yes, amen to that, right? Preach, preach. That is such a great, relevant message for children today. But you know who wrote that? Socrates. In 426 BC. And so when I read that, it just reminded me that parenting has been tough since the beginning of time. And yet God's word tells us over and over again that children are a blessing from God. Psalm 127 verse 3 says, "Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb, a reward." You get that? Moms and dads, what the Bible just told us is that the children in your house should be viewed as a reward from God. It says that our children are a blessing from God, and from the very beginning of time, we see that God has prioritized parenthood. In fact, in the garden, he commanded Adam and Eve to have children. You've read that in Genesis 1:28. God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, and subdue it." A lot of people love that verse. Be fruitful and multiply. And you love it because you love practicing math, right? So he says, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, and subdue it. But I don't want us to just stop there. I want us to understand that the Bible says a whole lot more than, hey, people, go have kids. No, the Bible goes on in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4 to say, "And bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord." So that tells us that parenting is a whole lot more than just procreation. But when you look at the pages of Scripture, you see that God has an expectation in how we raise the kids under our roof. And I think we all understand that to some degree. I think that most of us would say that most of us that are parents would say that we want to do a good job. We want to raise good children. We want someday to be considered a successful parent. And so the question this morning is, how do we do that? What does success really look like for parents? And just like all the other questions we've addressed in this study, I want you to see that the answer to that question is much different when it's being answered by the world than it is when it's answered by the Word. You see, the world will give a different definition for success in parents than God's Word will give. So let's begin by looking at success according to the world. Success according to the world can really be broken down to two different things. You ready for this? Short-term success and long-term success. The world will say you're successful if you can nail it in the short term. Really what it is answering two questions. Do my children obey me? And do my children respect their peers and their friends and their authority figures? Those are the two questions we've got to get right if we want to be successful in the eyes of the world. See, using this angle, a parent can feel successful when their kids behave well. That's especially true in the South. Because, you know, we live in an environment, we live in a culture where we judge people based off of how their kids behave and if they use manners or not. That's true in the South. And so if little Billy can go to Sunday school and say yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am, and play nice and be respectful of the other kids in the class, then all of a sudden little Billy's parents are up for parent of the year, right? Why is that? Well, it's because in the short term, their kid behaved well. They performed at a level that was impressive to the world. And even as believers, it's easy for us to slip into that default way of thinking when it comes to our kids, especially when they're small. We get in that mode where their behavior and the way that they represent themselves and their family is really the most important thing above all else. And the reason we get there is because we understand that people are watching our kids. And how they behave is going to reflect on us. And people are going to determine if we're successful as a mom or a dad based off of how our kids perform in the short term. But it's not all about short-term success. We all know that. The world will also determine your success based off of the long term. We have to consider that as well. See, the world will determine your success based off of how your kids end up in the long run after they leave the house. You see, that's how the world says, it says, if your kids succeed, you must have succeeded, right? They'll think, man, if your kids succeed, you succeeded as a mom or a dad. But here's the flip side of that. If your kids stumble or fall, then you as a parent must have failed. See, using that angle, parents can feel successful if their kid leaves the house and walks with the Lord after high school, or if they get into a great university, or if they land a high-paying job, or if they're successful in their professional career as an adult. Little Billy got into Harvard? Are you kidding me? Or Billy, really? He landed that job at the law firm? Or little Billy's making six figures in his mid-20s? Wow, look at all Billy has achieved. His parents must have killed it, right? His parents must have done a really, really good job. Basically, when you break it down, the world's definition of parental success is seen through the lens of achievement. If our children achieve certain things that are praiseworthy to modern society, then we assume that the parents must have done a really, really good job. And I'm not saying that any of these things are bad, by the way. I don't want you to hear me say that. I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with raising children that are respectful and kind to other people and respect their authorities. I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with raising adult children who get into great universities and accomplish great things. I'm not saying that at all. What I'm saying today is that parenting is so much more than that. It's so much more than that. What I mean by that is this. God didn't call us as parents to raise producers or performers. God called us as parents to make disciples. And that is success according to the Word. Some of you are probably wondering, what does the Bible tell us to do as parents? What are the instructions God gives us as a mom or a dad? And I really want you to see that from the Word of God today. And I think what you're going to see this morning is that the directive to us is very clear. It's not very complex at all. In fact, I'll read it to you again. Bring them up in the training and the instruction of the Lord. Did you hear me? I'm going to say it again. Bring them up, mom and dad, in the training and instruction of the Lord. You're like, yeah, we heard that, but there has to be something more to that. There has to be further instruction than that. You have to give us the whole case that the Bible makes. I want to hear all the instructions that the Bible makes. It is all boiled down into that one sentence. But if you're the person who's taking notes this morning, you're like, I need more than that. I'll tell you what, I'm going to show you four different things that make up our instructions as parents. Can I show you that? Here's what the Bible tells us our job is as mom and dad. Number one, it tells us to discipline your children. Somebody give me an amen on that one, right? Discipline your children. That comes from Proverbs 23:13. It says, don't withhold discipline from a youth. If you punish him with a rod, he will not die. I love that verse. I framed it in my son's room, all right? But it goes on to say, punish him with a rod and you will rescue his life from Sheol. Parents, you want to save your kid from hell? Whoop them. That's what the Bible says. Discipline your children. Secondly, it says teach your children God's word. Teach them God's word. Deuteronomy 6:6. These words that I'm giving you are to be in your heart. Repeat them to your children. Talk about them when you sit in your house and when you walk along the road and when you lie down and when you get up. Mom and dad, there's your job. Teach your children God's word. When should we do that? On Sunday mornings? No, he said do it all the time. It ought to be just a normal routine in your life. You ought to be spitting the word of God at your kids all week long, teaching them the word of God all the time. Third, train your children to be like Christ. You go to Proverbs 22:6. It says, train up a child in the way he should go. How should he go? He should go with Jesus. That's how. Train him up to walk with Christ. And that's number four. Model what it looks like to follow Jesus. You can't just tell him to follow Jesus. We as moms and dads have been called to model what it looks like to walk with Christ as a disciple of Jesus. Luke 6:40, a disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone who is fully trained will be like his teacher. So let's review real quick. What are the four things? Discipline your children. Teach your children God's word. Train your children to be like Christ. Model what it looks like to follow Christ. And you know what's crazy about this? That's really it. That's what the Bible tells us our job is as mom and dad. That's our assignment. Those are our marching orders. And so when you look at it, when you're taking notes, these things can be considered the four building blocks for a successful life as a parent. That's what we have to do. But let me ask you something. What do you say to the parent who looks at these four things and says this, you know what? We did all four of those things. And our son or our daughter still walked away from the Lord. They took another path. They rebelled against God and the church. What do you say to that parent? Because we read verses like Proverbs 22:6 that says, train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. And we read that verse as if it is a fail-proof formula for success. And we think, man, if I just train my kid and I discipline my kid and I disciple my kid and if I teach him to pray and teach him to walk with God and teach him how to have a quiet time and if I bring him to church and I do everything that God tells me to do, then God promises me that they'll never depart and they'll never rebel against him and they'll never walk away from their faith or walk away from the church. Promises me that. But what happens when the formula doesn't work? See, I talk to people all the time, parents that live with a tremendous amount of guilt because of that very same thing. They think, man, we tried so hard to shepherd our children's hearts in a way that honored the Lord and pointed people to the Lord, but something happened and they took another path. Where did we go wrong? What I want you to see this morning is that this verse that we read, it was written as, not as a promise, but as a proverb. You got to get this today. It was written not as a promise, but as a proverb. And there's a big difference between a proverb in Scripture and a promise from God. In other words, it wasn't written to be a guarantee for parents. It was written to serve as guardrails for parents. In other words, Proverbs 22:6 doesn't guarantee that godly parenting will result in godly children 100% of the time. What it guarantees is that godly children are more likely when they're being shepherded by godly parents. You tracking with me? In other words, listen, I'm not just saying this to let parents off the hook today. I'm saying this because to the world, we are judged by how our kids perform. But according to the word, God tells us we are going to be judged in a much different way. What does God expect from us, mom and dad? Can I tell you one more time? He expects us to bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. That's what he expects from us. Review it again. He expects us to discipline our children and to teach them God's word and to train them to be like Christ. And he expects us to model what it looks like to walk with Christ. But if you're taking notes, I would add a fifth one to that as well. And the fifth step is, and then we've got to trust God with the results. We've got to trust God with the results. That's what the Bible says, mom and dad. Those are our instructions. Now I want to share with you some things that the Bible doesn't say. Can I do that? First of all, the Bible never says it's okay for good things to be prioritized over God things. And I hope we get this today. This is big. The Bible never says it's okay for good things to be prioritized over God things. What does that mean? Mom and dad, it means that never in God's word does he say that your kids' education should be more important than their sanctification. It never says that their happiness should be more important than their holiness. It never says that their friends are more important than their faith. It never says that their pursuit of popularity should be more important than their pursuit of Jesus. Do we get that? He never says that you should prioritize the good things in life over the God things in life. And yet all of us have a set of priorities that we operate by. What are your priorities today? You know what I've discovered? I don't really even have to tell you my priorities as a parent, because my checkbook will automatically tell you what my priorities are, and my calendar will tell you what my priorities are. In fact, let me give you an example of that, just from my own family. Say, for instance, that because of time or because of money, your kids can only go to one camp this summer, and you have to make the decision as a mom or a dad. And you're trying to decide, do I send my kid to this elite sports camp where they can hone their skills and become a better athlete, or do I send my kids to Camp Cherokee, where they're going to be with their youth group friends and they're going to be in an environment for 5 days where they're being saturated in the word of God? You have to make the decision. Well, let me just tell you, as a parent, the way that we make that decision is going to reveal the priorities of our heart. And the decision that we end up making is going to send a message that is loud and clear to our children that says, this is the most important thing. What we've decided to do as a family is send you to this camp, and this is the most important thing. These are real life scenarios that we have to deal with as moms and dads. Not too long ago, we were stuck with making a decision like that for my son. He was invited to be a part of a travel baseball team, and it was a great honor and a great privilege. But the thing is, we had to really consider what that meant for our family. And what it came down to was, if we're a part of this team by invitation only, that means that we're going to be gone 16 to 18 Sundays a year. Or what, right? What happens if we don't play on the team? Well, nothing, life goes on. But if we don't be a part of that, we're gonna miss out, right? So we feel this pressure to do this travel team, even though we're gonna have to sacrifice a great deal. But here's the thing, we have to decide, are we gonna do that? Or are we gonna prioritize worshiping as a family together on the Lord's day in God's house? Let me just tell you, as a dad, making a decision like that impacts my whole family, it's going to reveal, my decision is going to reveal something pretty important. It's going to reveal my priorities, but it's also going to send a message loud and clear to my kids that says, this is the most important thing. You know, I've had parents over the years say, but Jordan, you don't really understand our situation. We're in a unique spot right here. You got to understand, people have told us that our kid is a really special athlete. And these people are experts, man. I mean, these are people we pay good money to train our kids, and they're telling us, man, if you keep working hard with us, your kid could get a scholarship to college one day. You won't even have to pay for college. I had somebody come up to me not long ago and said, listen, I really believe your kid could go pro. That could be your retirement right there. You can't tell me the church is more important than that right there. I mean, this is a special athlete right here. We're talking, listen, all of us parents, we think that for some reason. We think our kid is the next great thing in whatever sport they're participating in. But can I just hit you with some facts real quick? Let's get out of fantasy land for a second and talk about what the facts are. Listen, here's the fact. The fact is, my son right now has a 0.0015% chance of playing professional baseball someday. I'm going to say that again. 0.0015% chance of being a professional baseball player someday. That's the fact. Let me hit you with another fact. The facts show that right now my son has a 68% chance of being addicted to pornography by his 18th birthday. You tell me what I should prioritize as a dad. Here's what God's word says. It says, hey, mom, dad, I hope you're listening, because here's your job. Here is your assignment. Here are your marching orders. Bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. That's what the word says. It never says that the good things in our life ought to take priority over the God things in our life. What else does the Bible not say? Can I hit you with a couple more? It never says that the family should revolve around the kids. Y'all seen that? It's like wherever the kid goes, the parents are just like, oh, where are we going next, right? Can't wait to see what we're doing next. Kids calling the shots. Are y'all going to church this weekend? I don't know. Billy's got to make the decision. We're just following along. We're just going to, if he feels like waking up, we're going to be there at church on Sunday. What? Are you serious? The Bible never says the family should revolve around the kids. It also never says it's okay for your kids to take precedence over your marriage. Show me that in the Word. Listen, God established that union of husband and wife, and he said this is the relationship that ought to be at the very top of every earthly relationship you will ever have. Never says that the kids ought to run the show, and it sure doesn't say that your kid relationship should take precedence over your marriage relationship. These are two different ballgames. Let me tell you what other thing that the Bible doesn't say. It never says that parents should give their kids everything they want. We live in a culture right now where it's like a big competition, and the more stuff we can give our kids, the better we feel about ourselves as a mom or a dad. The Bible never says that. I think one of the most dangerous things we can do is shower our kids with everything they want. Because we can find ourselves in a culture where the kid needs nothing, and the last thing they need is Jesus, right? The kid doesn't know what it means to need something because they've been blessed with everything that they could need or desire. It also never says that you should neglect your kids or abuse your kids or coddle your kids or idolize your kids, and especially not worship your kids. In fact, you look at what God said in Exodus chapter 20. He said, you shall have no other gods before me. I think that ought to be a parenting message to many parents in America today, because we live in a culture where parents worship their kids. You say, well, I don't worship my kids. Okay. But what relationship do you value more than any other relationship? Who do you spend the majority of your time thinking about? Who's the person you talk to the most? Who is that person in your life? Listen, kids may be a blessing from God, but they themselves make terrible gods. Somebody say amen, right? Listen, if we're going to be successful as a parent, we've got to begin seeing things the same way that God sees them. Our perspective as a parent is so important. Let me ask you a question. How do you view your kids? Through what lens do you look at your kids through? Check this out. Paul David Tripp says, you'll either see yourself as the owner of your children or as an ambassador of God to your children. These are two very different perspectives. But the world will tell you as the parent, you're the owner of your kids. They belong to you. You're responsible 100%. They are yours. But the word gives us a completely different picture. It puts God in the role of owner and portrays parents as ambassadors of God. See, according to the Bible, we're not owners. We're more like renters, right? We're renting these kids. I can remember when Audra and I were newlyweds, we rented an apartment that we could barely afford. I mean, it was a struggle every single month. The rent was nearly $1,000, and we had to hustle just to make payments on this thing. And I can remember as a renter, we took such great care of that apartment. And the reason we took such great care of it, we knew that there was gonna come a day when we weren't gonna be in that apartment anymore. Our time was gonna be over, we were gonna leave. But if we took good care of that apartment while we lived in that apartment, we knew the chances were great that we would get our deposit back. And at that time, trust me, we needed that deposit to come back. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's like while we had that place, while we were entrusted to that place, we wanted to take care of it because we knew if we took care of it, chances are really good that it would pay off in the long run. The same is absolutely true when you're talking about parenting. The Bible shows our kids are on loan. They're not people that we own. They're on loan. They're not people that we own. The Bible says God is their creator and he is their owner. Psalm 139, 13 says, "For it was you who created my inward parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I will praise you because I have been remarkably and wonderfully made." So listen, if our kids belong to God, and our jobs as parents is basically just to steward God's possessions in the time he allows us to have these kids under our roof, then really it takes all the pressure off of us, doesn't it? I mean, we don't have to make it up as we go. We don't have to figure it out on the fly. The Bible says all we have to do is obey God's instructions and be faithful every single day. See, our perspective, how we see things as a parent, it's so important. Maybe you're like me and you just wondered, why did God create the family in the first place? He had to have a reason, right? And when you look at the Word of God, it really gives three different primary reasons that he created this thing called the family. Number one, to provide companionship for one another. He knew that we would need people to do life with. And so he created marriage, and from marriage he created the family, and he uses those years of parenting to really strengthen our relationship with the Lord. Secondly, to be a picture of the gospel. What a great picture of the gospel. And it gives us an opportunity to share our faith and to bring people up in the faith, understanding who God is and who he wants us to be. Thirdly, to represent Christ and the church. Get that from Ephesians chapter 5, verses 22 to 32. So when you look at those things right there and you realize God's idea for the family isn't just meant to benefit us. God's idea for the family was to establish something that would benefit the kingdom of God. And our families are designed to bring glory to God, and our families are also designed to point people to Jesus. And so when we understand that, I believe we have a biblical understanding as a parent. But not only do I think it's important we have a biblical perspective as a parent, secondly, I think our priorities as a parent are equally as important. Our priorities as a parent. Here's a good way to find out what your priorities are. Ready? Ask the question, do we prioritize in our family the same thing that God prioritizes? Are we prioritizing the same thing that God prioritizes? For instance, do we really value the things of the world, or do we value the things of God? Are we really chasing towards things that are temporal in nature, or are we chasing things that are eternal in nature? Are we more concerned with our kids' happiness or our kids' holiness? And when you can ask those questions, it'll reveal if you have a biblical perspective or not. But here's the thing. When we do have a biblical perspective, we will embrace godly principles, and those principles will be a game changer in our family's lives. So now all of a sudden, when your kids come up to you and they start asking all those hard questions, like, "Hey, Mom and Dad, why in the world do I have to go to church every single Sunday? It's not fair," right? Or now when your kid walks up and they say, "Hey, why are you making me go to Disciple Now this weekend? My friends aren't going. Why can't I go to the party that everybody else is going to?" Maybe they look at you and say, "Hey, why in the world can I not have a smartphone? I am 7 years old," right? "Mom and Dad, why do we have to read the Bible and do a devotional before we go to bed?" See, now with that biblical perspective, you don't have to just look at your kids and say, "Because I said so, that's why." Now you can look at them and say, "Listen, because according to God's word, my job as your parent is to train you and instruct you in the Lord. That's what God expects from me. I don't own you, but he does. And he's given me a handful of years and a handful of instructions, and he's given me one chance to get this right." You see, the Bible says that God is going to hold me accountable for how this goes. Now, I'm ultimately not responsible for how you turn out or the decisions you make once you leave my roof. But you know what I am responsible for? Today. I'm responsible for how I shepherd you and how I lead you in the Lord. And I've made a promise to God that I'm going to honor him in the way that I raise you. Changes the ball game. Because all you're doing is saying, "I believe the Bible, and I'm going to parent the way that God tells me to parent." It's having a biblical perspective. And when we can have a biblical perspective, it'll change our priorities as parents. And when our priorities align with God's priorities, that is when we are in a position to be prosperous and successful in the area of parenting. Joshua 1:8 says, "This book of instruction must not depart from your mouth. You're to meditate on it day and night so that you may carefully observe everything written in it. For then you will prosper and succeed in whatever you do. I don't know about you, moms and dads, but I am so thankful that God didn't leave us hanging in this area of parenting. But he gave us the manual for success. And he said, if you follow me and trust me, if your priorities align with my priorities, you can do this. You can do it.